Welcome to IDK. It's in the heart. You know what? Maybe IDK, it's in the heart, isn't going to be the slogan. But it's hallmarky. It's something that you would hear during a Christmas season. And that's what we're in. We're in the Christmas season right now. I'm so happy to have our guest here on again. This is a repeat guest. And you usually don't get repeat guests back to back. You don't get that. It's actually a privilege to have him back to back. And so I'm just going to say this guy's name. But before I say his name, I'm going to say some of his credits. You may have seen him in the musical Get Out. They're making a musical. Okay, that's not true. Bobby Kendall, everybody.
Yo, it's good to be back. It's really good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Man, people like the interview, man.
Oh, excellent. And that's, also, I have to say, Get Out, the musical, is something that is happening, but it was postponed because of the COVID. So it's going to be happening sometime 2022, 2023, I believe. But yeah, we'll get there.
And
we'll
have a pretty big part in that, is that right? In Get Out, the musical?
Yeah, I don't want to any spoilers but dropping, but yeah. I play several parts.
Bobby, the way, if people didn't listen to the first interview, go back and listen to the Halloween. It was fun. It was suggested by Bobby Kendall himself to watch Halloween, and we had a fun time for that. We had a lot of good reviews. But now it's the Christmas season, and we chose to watch another movie. And we'll get to that movie later. It's not necessarily a Christmas movie, is it?
Not really. But it does have undertones of the substance of Christmas spirit, I would say.
Yeah. The substance of Christmas.
Absolutely.
So what have you been up to since we talked last on Halloween? What projects have you been working on?
I have been plugging away on some of my music that I've been working on this year. Just kind of trying to, at this point, I'm making more subtle decisions about it. It always kind of starts out with broad strokes of the brush, and then as the months go by and continue to sort of hone it into what it wants to be per se, I find that it's less and less needs to change. It's I like putting it through the process of kind of giving it time, letting it breathe, keep putting it down, letting it go, then coming back to it, listening to it again, and trying to see if it feels like it needs anything or if it feels complete. And so right now I'm at the point where I've got about 5 or 6 songs that I've worked on this year that are about to ready to kind of be released into the world next year. So 2022, going to kind of trickle them out, and just really excited about that.
That's awesome.
And absolutely. I'm super blessed to be able to do that. I actually, one other thing that happened since the last time we talked is I got to present one of my movies that I made. I make movies, I guess, pretty redundant statement, but I make movies, and they end up being kind of short films so far. This one was kind of it was a project called Human. It was a series of vignettes, of 1 minute film vignettes that were all themed in the human theme. So it all dealt with aspects of humanity. And Yeah, so we got to present that last week. My brother, Mike Kendall, and Becky Kendall, his wife, my sister-in-law. We got to play some musical accompaniment to that as well. So it was really cool. It was just a nice opportunity to get to present that film at the Troy Library. So that was nice. It was a
So are we
huge
going to be able to
blessing for
see
sure.
that?
Actually, the film, it was lost, so unfortunately. So we presented it and it was lost. So no one can see it, unfortunately, but it was fun. It was fun to make, you know. It
Oh,
was a good
man.
time. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be on YouTube soon. So if you go to my channel, I think I have a channel called It's Just Bob Kendall. It's going to be on there. So
Right on.
yeah.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as Neil, Mr. Grinch. While you're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. Ha ha ha. Sing along if you know the words. You all know the words. Ha-ha. You're a monster, Mr.
Excuse me.
Grinch. Hey,
Excuse me. Yeah.
what is that? Well, why did you interrupt this
Well,
song?
the Grinch has
It's a
changed.
great song.
Yeah, but he's changed. He's not
What?
that guy
Are we
anymore.
talking about the same person?
Yes, the
I'm
Grinch.
singing about the Grinch.
Right.
The
No, we know.
green one.
Yes, we know. It's just
The
that
one who
he's
smells.
changed. He
The
used to
one who
smell.
smells like putrid pee.
Okay. All
The
right.
Grinch.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, see, he's
Are you
changed.
kidding me?
No,
This
not.
guy is a monster.
Okay.
He's got garlic in his heart.
Huh.
I even wrote a new verse.
Oh,
Listen.
no, that's okay. No. Well, that's
You're a
okay.
bastard, Mr. Grinch. You didn't have a father, and you were born in the.
Hey, listen, sorry. I just find that really
What
offensive.
do you mean?
Well, I find that classist.
Classist?
Yeah, classist, you know,
Are you kidding me? We're talking about the Grinch.
it's just really insensitive and I mean, he's changed, you know what I
His
mean?
heart has gunk in it.
You know, you'd be surprised he's changed a lot and for the good. I mean, he's kind of good
The
now.
Grinch?
Yeah, I mean, he's you know, a nice guy.
What?
Yeah, he's a nice guy now,
What do you
actually.
mean he's turned good?
Yeah, you turned
He
good.
can't be good. He's the Grinch.
Well, that's a stretch, you know.
Come on, Whoville. Who's with me? Are we talking about the same guy here? I'm talking about the Grinch. He's a mean one, Mr. Grinch. He really needs to die. If I saw him hanging from a cliff, I would poke him in the eye. And then stomp on his face, and then watch him fall to his death.
Boo, that was super offensive.
That was excellent.
No, it was really bad.
You gotta be kidding me.
It was just super mean, man.
Why, this isn't mean at all. I'm talking about the Grinch. I'm
Okay.
not saying it about you or you.
Listen, the Grinch has really gotten his life together,
His
man.
life together.
Yeah, I mean, he has. I mean, you don't really know him very well, but
It's the Grinch we're talking about here. He's evil.
okay.
He is rotten. His heart is full of gunk.
You know, give him a break. You know what I mean? Give him a break, please, you know.
He's a bad guy.
Okay.
He is pure evil.
Okay. Yeah.
We're talking about the Grinch here.
Okay.
He's literally Satan.
You suck.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Dude, you suck. Boo. Get off the stage, bro.
The
Bro,
Grinch is a
you suck.
murderer.
Bro,
The
you
Grinch
suck.
stole presents. He stole from my
Dude, you
family.
suck.
He stole from my family.
Excuse me, sir. We're gonna need you to kindly exit the stage, please. Thank you, sir.
Get off me.
Okay, we just...
Get off the stage.
We're going to need to kindly exit the stage.
I'm going
to
keep singing off the Grinch because we need it. Where am I?
Yes, sir, these guests are clearly upset. We need you to exit the stage, please.
Are we not in the 1960s? Come on.
Okay, this way, sir. It is 2021. Thank you. Okay, this way. Move, please. We need to exit the stage, please. Thank you.
Why, he's a felon.
Okay, this way, sir. Continue, please. Thank you. This way, sir. This way, sir. This way, sir.
He looks gross. He's green.
Okay, let's go.
He's green. He looks gross. He smells.
Please continue, sir.
He cheats.
This way, sir.
Well, let's get to this movie. The movie that we ended up watching today was... The Big Sick.
Yeah.
Okay, so usually this, here's the deal. This is what's happened with the podcast. We talked about some movies that I haven't seen. Then we were only going with the classics. And then we ended up going to Halloween, kind of breaking out of the norm. And then we're still in the Christmas season where everybody's getting their stuff together. And I was like, I want to suggest a movie. All right. And so you would think, oh, was it The Big Sick that I suggested? No, it was The One I Love. The One I Love is one of my favorite movies. We had Gwen Sunkel on. We had Dyke Michaels. We had a guy named Pat on. And you were on there as well. Donnie Onovan came through and we lost the whole episode. And it was Lynette Thompson came on from Fort Wayne. I mean, we had the whole crew. I had this whole shindig. And then the first movie that I suggested got lost, all the recording. And it was a fun podcast. I mean, people were hooting and hollering. People were high-fiving after, wiping tears from their tear ducts. That was going on. I mean, this was... this is one of the best podcasts I've ever been a part of. Like, before I went to sleep, you know, Dyke knocked on my door. He's like, I'm proud of you. You're doing it, kid. And I gave him a thumbs up, and he knew what that meant. He knew what that meant. He gave me a thumbs back. And I was like, all right, I think we got it. And then, you know, people were calling in saying, like, hey, I can't wait to hear it. And then I look on my computer, zero audio. It just went blank. Something happened. And I had to go and call every single person back and let them know that, hey, that amazing thing that we just did together that can never be recreated in such a way, it's lost. We had people angry, Bobby. We had people sad. And people deal with grief in different ways with podcast episodes that, like, first they're like, it's okay. It's okay. You get that. And I'm like, okay, that's nice. And I'm like, I'm truly sorry. He's like, that's fine. And then you hear click. They hang up. Like, hopefully they're just dealing with it themselves. And everybody had a, you know, understood, you know, there's computer malfunctions. And then Gwen Sunkel, a very known comedian in our city. She's doing great things. She just came out with her album. And I've heard nothing but good things about the album. I haven't listened to it because... I think she's crap. No, I'm kidding. I haven't listened to it, but I'm waiting for it to be edited and then hear the final product. She came on to our other podcast, The Drunk Dial, and she crapped on it, Bobby. She crapped on it. She said, I am so disappointed that you lost it. You wasted my time. It wasn't even a good movie. And we had a hoot of a time. We had a hoot of a time. But she came at me, Bobby, that I wasted her time. And I do apologize. I don't.
Yeah, nobody. I get it. Nobody wants to have their time wasted. I understand.
You know? You feel bad. She did make me feel a bit worse. I don't need to say this, that she was late to the podcast. I'm not even going to bring that part up. I already addressed it on the drunk title. So, anyways, moving on. Everybody's dealing with grief in different ways, and I understand why she's mad. She nailed it on that podcast, and I'm sorry you guys can't. see it. So what I'm telling you guys, go see The One I Love. If you're in your car right now, this is your, I give you permission to text and drive right now. I do. you could go on your phone. I give you permission to look up The One I Love. Even watch it while you drive. That's actually probably a better solution. If you have a long trip, hour and a half, put it on the screen. So yeah, The One I Love, check it out. And then please message me or Donnie Onovan. Donnie Bobani. Sorry, I can't keep saying your name wrong. Donnie Bobani. Message Donnie Bobani about the movie. And then we'll read about that. And if you want a message about The Big Sick, please do that. We love the messages, and that keeps us going. The Twitter messages. So I thank everybody for participating, and I'm sorry that you won't hear that episode. Maybe we'll have a reprise later.
Absolutely. That's such a great movie, The One I Love. It's I had never seen it. You had told me about it and said, you know, let's do an episode on this. You suggested it to me, and I'm so glad you did. I watched it, and I was just absolutely blown away. It's just an amazing movie. And I can say the same thing for this one, for The Big Sick. I had never seen it.
Yeah.
And you were like, you got to watch this. Suggested it for the podcast. Same thing. I watched it right away. And same thing, man. I was super blown away. I was just, these two movies I hadn't heard about. I think this one especially was just extra special in certain ways. And it's just a magical movie, I think. And I love Kumail. Kumail's just, he's always been, ever since I saw him on Portlandia, I think for the first time.
Oh yeah.
Skit as a cell phone. He was like the cell phone. He was worked at like the cell phone store at the kiosk or something. Yeah. And he was describing the different plans to that cell phone plans to, I was just like, this guy is perfection. You know, like he's just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. He like just such a great comic. And so to set The Big Sick up, The Big Sick is a true story about Kumail meeting his wife. And during that process, they're dating. Kumail is Muslim, and he ends up dating this white girl that does not practice his religion, and which is difficult. In any religion, it's going to be difficult to date. It's looked down upon the parents. So what that sets up the movie in is this guy that has to kind of hide his girlfriend as he's falling in love. He's hiding it from his parents. And it's kind of like a coming of age movie. Would you agree? Like, I feel like it's a coming of age in the sense of knowing who you are and what you stand for. And letting love be the main thing, the main focus.
That's so good. Yeah, that's so good, man.
Which was
absolutely
beautiful. Now, like right before.
Oh yeah.
Now, right before, you know, spoilers. Right before she gets sick, she does get sick. She goes into a coma. They pretty much break up. So, she finds out that, like about the religion and that he's not supposed to marry her, and they kind of go their different ways. Next thing you know, a couple days later, she's in the hospital, and then he has to deal with that, and that's where the movie goes into. And it has Ray Romano, who is amazing actor in this.
So good. Both Ray Romano and Holly Hunter. They're just, that's her name, right? Yeah, I think I don't know why. I sometimes I get it confused with Helen Hunt, but they're very different and very both unique and awesome. But anyway, Holly Hunter and Ray Romano, just perfect actors as the parents. It was just, I mean, it's not like I knew the parents and I could say, oh yeah, that's a very accurate representation of them. But like, just for the sake of the story, and the movie, it just felt natural to me. It really did.
So some of my favorite parts of this movie, one is with Ray Romano when he asked Kumail, what do you think about 9/11? And he's like, anti. I'm anti 9/11. That's one of my favorite parts. That's a great clip. He's like, I've always wanted to talk to someone about 9/11. Like, you never talk to anybody about 9/11. That's definitely one of my favorite parts in the movie as they're waiting in the hospital. The other part was pooping in front of couples. Like, that scene, like, she has to poop and she's staying the night at his house and she doesn't want to poop in his house, which is common. A lot of people don't like pooping in front of each other. When do you think is the right amount of months or time to poop in front of your significant other? And I'm asking second you because you're married. Second day?
Second date.
Okay, second cool. Date.
No, I'm just kidding.
There should be rooms set up for that.
Yeah, honestly, it's I guess everybody's different, but typically, you know, months, I would say, maybe as a guess. And then, but you never know. I mean, I've known people to be married and still trying to keep a poop a secret, which is interesting, but you know, I don't know.
There you go.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Let that stink out is what I have to say. Cause everybody.
Oh yeah. Just let it out. People
don't even. Right.
Let it out, preferably on the floor, not in the toilet.
Yeah, don't do it on the
toilet. You know what I mean.
Don't do it. Preferably
in the woods, compost. There we go.
Like, honey.
Don't flush it into the sewer, people. Come on. Come on, people.
Is it the less mad that they get at your poop, the more they love you, or the more mad they get at your poop, the more they love you?
The more mad they get at your poop?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I guess you could say that because it's just more truth, you know. It's just they're just telling it as it is. They said, "Hey, this is
gross.
This is gross."
All
right. They, you're right. It's in fact, beep.
Well, what do you want for Christmas, little boy? Well, don't be shy. Tell Santa. I know. How about a nice football? Yes, mm-mm. A nice football.
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
How about a nice warm sweater with a reindeer knitted on the front?
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. No?
Mm-mm.
Dear, oh dear. Well, we must hurry. Santa's got a line of children and only a couple hours left till the store closes. What's that?
I want...
Please, do tell Santa what you want. Please.
I really want the original Last Action Hero sealed figure from 1993 Mattel Industries, the Hook, Launch, and Danny version, the one with the missile that he shoots.
Oh, what now? You're describing a vintage toy.
Yes, Santa, please, is my favorite movie ever.
Now, who
please.
Knows if the plastic is still intact?
No, but Santa...
Santa was thinking more something that's in the store and preferably on sale.
No,
now,
Santa...
Now, please, do tell Santa what you want.
I want the Last Action Hero.
How about
hero?
A nice toy train?
Last Action Hero.
Some bubblegum from the dollar store?
Last Action Hero.
A pixie stick?
Last Action Hero.
A rock?
Last Action Hero.
It sounds far too dangerous.
Last Action Hero, Santa, come on.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
No!
Merry Christmas! Oh, oh, oh.
Hey, don't let Santa get you down like this, you know what I mean, baby? This is Donnie from Donnie's Radio Store here, just telling all of you beautiful people that you can find any vintage something or other at Donnie's Radio Store, baby. That's right, Donnie's Radio Store. Come on down and happy holidays from Donnie himself.
You have Donnie.
Hey, Donnie. You're on the phone with Bobby Kendall.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, Bart. Hey, how you doing, baby?
And Thaddeus McKee. This is just me. Just the two of all three of us today. First of all, how are you doing, Donnie?
Oh, you know, I'm okay. You know, I'm busy.
Yeah, I've been trying to get a hold of you for a while.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, I haven't talked to you for about a month or so.
That's a lie. We just talked last week. We just talked last week, baby. Don't you remember? The Halloween episode.
No, the Halloween episode's been a long time, Donnie.
No, that Halloween episode. Yeah, it was last week.
No, that wasn't last week. It's way past that.
I tried
calling you.
I know what's going on. I know what's going on here.
What's happening?
Well, you know, I don't really want to say. It's a little off-putting for people, some people, you know? It's a little off-putting. It's sort of strange. But I don't really want to say, you know?
Okay, well, I mean, you can share it with us. Like, you got fans now. Like, people are following your page. Like, we want to know what's going on.
All right, you know what? All right, why not? All right, there's a portal. I found a portal in my break room in the radio store. I mean, there's a portal. So
Donnie, did you say there's a portal in your radio store?
You know, that's where I was. I was in a portal. I was stuck there for apparently about a month. I didn't realize it. Sometimes, you know, it's longer. Sometimes it's shorter. I don't know.
All right,
I don't really know much about it. You know, I don't know much about it. I just know it's a portal. You know, I got sucked in. I don't know what happened.
Okay, you know? What can you explain about the portal? Like, what happens in this portal?
Well, you know, when I received the radio store from my father years ago, he told me about this portal. And, you know, I didn't think anything of it at first, naturally, as I never usually do when I hear about portals. But, you know, he told me the portal was in the break room. And he said, you know, the break room is dark. Okay, the break room is a little tiny room off the main room of the radio store. No one is in the break room. It's basically the size of a closet and no light. So, you know, you go in there, the world disappears, you know. Suddenly, I'm a baseball player. I play for the Toronto Blue Jays. You know, I suddenly I have a lot of abilities that I never had before. Or suddenly I'll fall asleep and wake up. You know, I'm dreaming that I'm John in London, walking the streets of London. You know, and suddenly I'm some other guy. So I don't know. I'm not sure why or how. Suddenly,
a few questions. A few questions. Mm-hmm. So is this how you were able to date Jamie Lee Curtis via portal?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course. Yeah, the portal, baby. The portal, that took me around, you know? That allowed me to experience a couple different lifetimes. You know what I mean, baby? It's a portal of knowledge, you see? It's a portal of consciousness.
You said it gives you powers, though? That's the other question.
I would say powers of omnipresence.
Oh.
Yes. Omnipresence. Essentially, the world disappears in this portal, as I know it, as Donnie Bobani, the finite mind that is refracted through this infinite consciousness, knows the world, naturally. But then, you know, I go into this portal, and where's Donnie Bobani? Suddenly, I have no sensations in my body. Suddenly, I have no thoughts. So if I'm not a thought, if I'm not a body, what am I? Naturally, process of elimination, you know, I'm omnipresent.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
I mean, hey, what else is there? Anyway, so it's interesting. You know, I like to go in there sometimes and...
That's pretty deep. I mean...
You know, contemplate the cosmos, you know?
Man, wow, contemplate the cosmos.
Yeah, you know, this is a fancy term for where does the universe begin and Donnie Bobani end? Or, you know, where did Donnie Bobani begin and the universe end? You know what I mean? It's a nice way to you know, start the day, actually. You know, you realize you're more than just this finite mind.
So body, you go in to meditate. Is that what you're doing? You're meditating in there?
You know, I think you're onto something there. You know, I think some people may call it meditation. You know, I think of it as, you know, facing our inner being. You know, facing this source of attention. turning attention toward the source of attention. And then once we do that, we find it, you know, it's almost like a hot air balloon, you know, we just kind of rise above everything. And then you feel unified, you know, you feel this sense of why do anything, you know, why move at all? You know, so sometimes I'm in there for months, you know, I don't even realize it because I don't want to leave. You know?
But still experiencing life.
Oh, to the fullest. And listen, the here and now that, you know, the portal accentuates, it's really, you know, it's the building blocks of life. You know, that's what my father taught me. He said, you can't escape it. You can't escape it. You can build on it, but you cannot escape it. So, you know, embracing the here and now, you know, it's a way that we can expand our consciousness in the portal or whatnot. You know, I think everybody has their own portal. Maybe, you know, maybe it's your closet like me. Maybe it's a nice quiet chair out in your yard, watching the trees, you know, tripping out and whatnot, watching the clouds, you know, tripping on the nature, natural high. You know what I mean, baby?
Anyway, so did you get my email about watching The Big Sick? I mean, I know you were in the portal, but I was wondering if you even got that.
What's email? I'm just kidding, baby. I know what email is, but no, I did not get your email. Oh. I did not get your email.
Okay. Well, we were doing things some different. You know what? Don't worry about it. I think you left us with something that was really important. I'm going to let you go.
Okay then, baby.
Yeah. Hey,
listen. Yeah. Yeah. I hope you guys have a great, you know, Christmas holidays and all them things that you're doing.
Would you like to plug your podcast? Would you like to plug your Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's see. Donnie Bobani. That's Donnie.Bobani, Instagram. And I think I'm also, if you type in Donnie, don't get any on me or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, hey.
All right. All right. Thank you so much, Donnie.
Absolutely. Hey, have fun.
All right. Yeah, have fun, man. Take it easy. Woo.
Take it easy, baby.
Woo, woo, woo.
One part that really struck me and kind of, it was like a super deep moment. It wasn't necessarily like a comedic moment, but
yeah.
It was just super deep. And it kind of brought a tear. And it was when the family and Kumail, when the parents and Kumail went to her apartment for the first time. They walk in, and it's just this energy that it's almost indescribable. Mm-hmm. It's like you're all of a sudden aware that they are. It's like they're aware that they're on sacred ground. You know, they're.
Mm-hmm.
She's not. She's absent. She's in a coma at this point, and they're in her apartment, and they can and Holly Hunter grabs one of her sweaters on the way in and smells it, you know, and just smells her essence. And then like they're looking around at these different objects in the room that she's engaged with, you know, that the room is sort of in this state of, it's just as if she had just been there, you know? And so her outer being, you know, I almost think of it like her outer being is present almost. It's like, it's not present, but it's insinuated because of all the activities around, like
yeah.
Puzzles and you know, Scrabble games have finished and like different. Just you see her, like you're aware of her outer being, of her movement, of her activity, and then it's just this buzz, you know, it's just this. Oh, it's just so crazy, and then it brings me to mind her. Being in a coma and the fact that her sort of essence or her inner being is present, but her outer being, her movement, her you know,
yeah.
Engaging with the world is not present.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's just such an interesting just such an interesting like situation, and just coma and comas in general, and even sleep being sort of that breaching on that category of where our outer being kind of fades into our inner being, and then our inner being expands while we sleep, and then we contract again into movement. And we focus into movement into our outer being. But yeah, it was just this beautiful moment that I just was taken by. And I can only imagine it being equally as sacred if, you know, I were in their position. You know, it's just right. It was really powerful for sure.
What a unique perspective, Bobby. Thank you.
I don't know it. I don't know it.
Like the overall statement for this movie, it makes me think it has Stand Up in the background too. It has this follow your dreams theme. And it just rang so true to me, because like when I think I watched it in my maybe second or third year of comedy, and when you're in your second or third year of comedy, people don't really understand like what you're doing. They don't see like the avenues. They're just like, you're either funny or not. They don't understand there's this process of building up to stage time, and then being comfortable speaking to people for an hour at a time and being funny throughout the whole time. They don't understand like how much work it is. Unless you're really into comedy or you listen to comedy podcasts, you kind of get the struggle. They don't see that we're out almost every night of the week trying to work on a joke, you know, or a new 5 minutes. And so this shows this guy kind of like standing up to his parents and going out for his dream. And I respected that so much when I watched that. Spoiler, at the very end, like he just is like, hey, I'm moving to New York. And we all know the end story. The end story is that he makes it. And like he took a chance, and like there's this whole thing where like I feel like I am not happy or I'm not truly fulfilled unless I'm moving in faith in some type of way, unless I'm not taking like this leap. You can call me an adrenaline junk if you want, but I need to take leaps that that are going to push me into new avenues, that are going to push me into new seasons. But like sometimes when you just make easy choices, or you just clock into the 9 to 5 and you're not dreaming, then that's when your soul dies.
I definitely felt that in the movie. I felt just this devotion, like you said, to truth, you know, and love. That's, I guess, how I see it. Like, when he, like, the same principle, really, of freedom, I guess. You know, nobody wants to be fenced in. Nobody wants to have a sort of outcome that another person may or may not have, or may work for their life. It's, or another avenue that somehow works for even most people or some people. It doesn't mean that it works for any one person in particular, you know. And as far as him choosing his activity, you know, his comedy, like being his activity, that sort of centers him, you know, and that he loves. And then like also him centering himself in terms of relationship, you know, and saying, no, this is, you know, this might be a tradition, and this might be what, you know, my mom and dad want for me, the arranged marriage thing. But and it might even work, you know, on a certain level. But he's like, no, I want a love that's deeper than that. I want a love that's, you know, more free.
Right.
I want a love that's more natural, more organic. And that makes so much sense, you know, and it's only natural for him to just hold that loosely. And I just felt like there was this beautiful, just lightheartedness to his character, and it sort of brought this almost like uncomplicated aspect to everything that he did, you know. And it was like it sort of just was uncomplicated. It was just simple, you know, to him. He was just, even when his mother didn't, you know, want to talk to him and stuff, he was so lighthearted and simple and uncomplicated about that. And he said, okay, well, okay, you know, he said, okay, I'm going to move to New York. And, you know, it wasn't like, yeah, maybe it was sad on certain levels, but he didn't let that color his journey. You know, he was sort of lighthearted and just uncomplicated about that too. He said, okay, I'm just going to continue to go to New York. It's not complicated, you know, and it's very clear. It was very clear to him. And then it was just so beautiful, like this beautiful letting go of their relationship. It just felt like they never held on too tight. And it always felt there was this freedom that they gave each other because they were always saying, you know, even joking early on in the relationship together, they said, you know, so I guess we'll never see each other again. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was fun. It was really great. And they were sort of in the moment, in the here and now, you know, and they weren't concerned really about, they didn't give themselves that stipulation of, well, you have to do this or have to, you know. It was very free. And it's just such a beautiful, uncomplicated picture of love, you know?
Yeah.
Just amazing.
I have a question. Do you think if she did not go into that coma, do you think he would have even, I feel like if she didn't go into that coma, I feel like that's like what it's based around a lot. Like if there, a lot of things would have changed in the sense of, they might've probably not have worked it out. There might've not have been a reason for him to rethink and look over the memories that he had with her. As she's lying there, like he, cause like you even see like the scene, like when he gets the call, he's in bed with another girl. So like there was a sense of like, all right, he kind of did move on, and that going back to the hospital kind of brought him to like, oh man, like actually like I love this girl. And meeting the parents, which like he kept putting off through the whole movie, and he gets to meet Ray Romano's character and just like interact, which is like one of my favorite parts. I brought that movie up, like I was riding in the car with Kurt Braunohler, and he plays the roommate of Kamel. And
oh, he's so funny too. Yeah. I was blown away when you told me that. I was like, what?
Yeah. Well,
super cool, man.
Well, like I was like, hey, I'm gonna do a show with this guy, and and has a good podcast. He's pretty funny. And like as he's like the next day we had to go to Fort Wayne, so it's like a 2-hour drive, and like we're driving and we're just talking about movies that I like, and I'm like talking about The Big Sick, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's so great. And he's like, yeah, we had to shoot that. I was like, oh, I said, I really like the part with Ray Romano and the scene where they're in bed and they're talking about it, like you don't know if you're in love until you finally cheat, that scene. And he's like, yeah, we shot that 4 different ways. And we try to get like different emotions. I'm like, wait, we shot that? And I was like, and I look over and he's in the passenger seat, like, oh, like you do look kind of familiar. I mean, I saw you last night, but that's not the familiar. Oh, you're the roommate. And I just had to
that's
be
awesome.
Yeah. But I kind of just like played it cool. Like I knew, like, oh yeah, yeah, you guys did. Oh yeah, you were The Big Sick. Yeah, yeah, you were The Big Sick. That was actually a good movie. And just just trying to not to be like, dude, that's my favorite movie. Like, I watch it all the time.
Totally. Yeah.
But, yeah, I just like, played
it. Where were you during that scene? Were you behind the camera? Were you outside in the hallway? Did you hear Ray talking? Or did you see him? Did you get to talk to Ray much? What about you just totally, like, turn into, like, you know, a million questions.
Yeah.
Like, never letting him breathe.
Right.
Oh, that's funny.
But I was just more embarrassed. I'm like, oh, I didn't look up all your credits. I didn't know that were in that movie.
Totally, I would feel the same way. But I would probably go into this mode of just totally like geeking out. I could imagine that.
Well, you've had a geek out moment with a celebrity.
Yes, I did. Indeed.
So you want to set that up?
Should we tag him in this? Todd, can we tag you? Todd?
Mr. Barry.
Todd Margaret is his name. The increasingly poor decisions of Todd Margaret. It's a show. David Cross. No, I'm just kidding. What's his?
Todd Barry.
I totally forgot his last name.
I said it, Todd. Mr. Barry.
Todd Barry.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we could do this as a new edit. Ah, yes, Todd Barry. Todd Barry. I remember Todd very well. I don't know if he would remember me quite well, quite so well, indeed. I was actually on a gig. Funny thing, as I usually am on gigs at times, playing bass around the Capital Region in New York. But yeah, we were at this restaurant called the Speakeasy, the Albany Speakeasy. It was set up to look like an old-fashioned speakeasy, just like that. And most of you are saying, "Oh, exactly. I know exactly the place," but or not, and that's more like it. But so cell phones weren't allowed in there. It's kind of funny. It's like they wanted it to feel old-timey, and so on a break, I see him sitting at a table, and he had just performed at the Palace Theater that night. So I was like, "Okay," it was on my radar. And then I see him walk in. I'm like, "That's definitely him. That's definitely him." So long story short, I walk up to him and I'm like, "Hey, I love your stuff. Can I get a picture with you?" And he's like, yeah, we can't really do phones in here." So, and I'm like, "Okay, yeah, you're right, totally right, no phones. Do you mind if I just, email you like a link to my comedy stuff? I just would love to hear your input." And he's like, "Oh, I don't think so. I don't think I could tell you if it's funny or not. I just not into that. I just don't do that kind of thing. Sorry, bud." And that was totally fine. I was like a little off putting. I was like, "Okay, well, this is, I get it. He probably gets people coming up to him," and I felt silly. And then towards the end, we're playing, and then he comes up, he walks up, and we're in the middle of a song, and it's like towards the end of the gig, and he's leaving, and he just comes up to me, and he's like, "Again, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry." And then he just walks away. It's just like the most unnecessary thing, like the second apology that he just, like, I don't know, he just felt bad maybe or something. But right. Anyway, it's kind of a silly story that probably people have like their own versions of this story with celebrities, I'm sure. Silly. Anyway.
Like one celebrity freak out, maybe. I don't know. Like, you get one, and then you have to pull yourself together. I just remember, I think what was happening, though, with us, because we just shot a lot of our urgent comedy videos, and, like, we were just brand new at it. So we just, like, pretty much shot everything. And we really liked Flight of the Conchords and him in it as the doggy bounce, I think. Do the doggy bounce. Roof,
oh, roof. My gosh, yes. Yeah. I totally forgot he was in that.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, dear Lord, that's amazing.
And so we were talking about it, and like, Todd Barry. And then all of a sudden we see Todd Barry. So of course we're going to freak out a little bit. And like, and then I just remember cringing when you said, like, "Oh, like, what did he say? Like, oh, you asked for a picture? No. You asked him to watch her comedy? No." But he liked your music, and that's what is most important about this whole story.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, he didn't really say whether he liked it, but yeah, perhaps he did. We were playing some old-timey jazz standards, so, maybe he's into that. I'm not super into it, but it's just kind of what I do for a
living,
a day job per se,
or a night job. Yeah.
A night job, yeah, usually.
Music's a Night Job by Bobby Kendall. There's your book title.
Are you a victim of a broken chimney this holiday season? Every year we get tons of calls about chimneys that are just destroyed. So if you're one of those people, I'm going to tell you right now, you're in luck. At the law offices of San Anson's, we say the big guy's in the wrong, and we're going to fight for your chimney to the end. That's right, my dad Santa has been breaking chimneys willy-nilly for far too long. That's why at San Anson's law firm, we are unwaveringly dedicated to rebuilding our our communities and our chimneys brick by brick. And we're also introducing what's called the chimney trap, which is basically a bear trap, more or less, and it's attached to the chimney. And that way we can trap Santa and finally stop him from breaking our dang chimneys. From the law offices of Santa and Sons, happy holidays.
But yeah, we go back to this movie and you see what it brings out in you. And I think that's the whole point of movies is like, what does it bring out? Like what does it inspire? When I'm done watching this movie, am I automatically looking for the next movie, or am I thinking like, man, what do I stand up for? What do I believe in my life? What will I turn around and be like, you know what? No, I'm parents. I got to do this instead. You know, deep down in my heart, I believe this. And it's just, those are good questions to ask. Sometimes I think a lot of people are scared to ask because they don't think there's purpose behind their lives. And like, the less purpose you equate to things, the less that you're going to be concerned. So that might not be a thought for some people. But I think this is a movie that kind of brings it out. And you can see, no matter what religion you are, or where you stand, like, man, like, this guy made a big jump, and that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's that was a big leap of faith, you know? Like, we all have that opportunity to take a leap of faith and build upon something, you know? Just like taking a leap, initial leap, and then hopefully everything's stemming from there. Yeah, it's at a certain point. But also, yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting question that you asked as well about, did I think that she would, if she didn't go in a coma, do I think that they would have ended up together or in that certain direction? And I really don't know. It's such an interesting question though, but I just love how he reacted to that situation, you know? And it just tells me that when we move towards, or when we face our experiences sort of with this open-mindedness, with this sort of this peace, you know, that is kind of this spaciousness that lets our experiences, it lets everything coexist, you know, inside of us per se. Like nothing is too big or too, you know, bad or scary to exist and float around here, you know, here and now. And so I feel like the way he received that situation and just dove into it like that, he ended up just reaping just so much blessing from it. And facing that situation, I think all that was there really was peace and happiness at the end, you know. And he just chose to face it with optimism, with openness, with space, you know. And he got all of this richness out of it, like this new family, you know, this new, the parents, he became like really close with them, and he was persistent with his relationship with Emily, is her name, right? Mm-hmm. And he was persistent with that relationship too, and he ended up marrying her in real life, you know, right. I mean, that's kind of what happened. It ended up being such a huge blessing of happiness and peace and harmony and just
right.
And he was just able to face this situation that had no guarantee, that had no outcome, that was going to be swayed one way or another. It had no, he wasn't even sure if she, you know, would ever want to see him again at that time.
Right.
And yet he somehow saw this for what it was and just was open to it, you know?
Right.
And I just feel like I have this suspicion that we experience suffering in our lives when we escape into our experiences per se, or when we allow ourselves to just forget the peace that precedes all experience, you know, the peace that is the background of all experience. And so, I think we can receive our experiences with an open heart and an open mind. And in that way, it kind of protects us from them. And it's silly to say, but we become indestructible, and our experiences are just the coloring of that indestructibility. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's kind of how I've been seeing life lately. Just a beautiful
the experiences picture are of all we have. Like, you know, is what you're saying. It's like experiences are all we have, and then if we shy away from that, then we miss out. But if we keep going towards experience or moving through faith or taking a leap of, you know, whatever, that's going to create the experience, and that's going to create the memory and then also the life lesson and move you forward. Absolutely. I like, you know, even how Camille, like he takes this jump first, like, hey, I'm going to go back and I'm going to date her. And then he sees when she wakes up from the coma, spoiler, she doesn't want him back. And then he's like, you know mm-hmm. what? Well, what do I love, and what can I hold on? Now my family doesn't want to talk to me. She doesn't really want to talk to me. Right now New York makes sense. Let me just keep going for my passion. And then, you know, she comes back and then visits him in New York, and this is a surprise. And they fall in love, which, yeah, like it's such a happy movie. Please, if you haven't seen it, go see it now. Ask your theaters to play it. I don't care if you have to harass an innocent man or lady to put it on the screen, because you need to watch it. No, you don't need to watch it on the screen. Just watch it at home. Watch it with your loved one.
Yeah, it's such a good one. It's really great.
Well, I really want to wrap this up by saying Merry Christmas to all. I know this isn't a Christmas movie, but it could be. It has all the Christmas feels. There's just no Santa. Do you need Santa to feel Christmassy? I would say no. I would say shame on you if you are using Santa as your Christmas feeler. You know, grow up, right?
Agreed.
Grow up.
Agreed.
All right. Santa is a chimney breaker. Okay. So many chimney bills, and I'm not even going to get into how angry that makes me. All right. Black Santas. I like black Santas. White people give me black Santas as gifts for Christmas for some reason.
Oh, man.
I have so many black Santas. It's not even funny. I have a closet. I have a closet of black Santas, and it looks weird. I'm like, this isn't even my idea. You know, I look like the creep, but, like, you know. But people were giving it to me. I opened up this door, like a whole bunch of black Santa spill out. And I'm like, oh my gosh. All right. Like, cause you feel bad throwing away a black Santa, cause the black Santas are cute. So you don't want to throw them away, and they could be collector's items, cause one day they might deem it illegal to make black Santas.
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not. I like Asian Santas as well. I like all ethnicity Santas. So, this year, if you are white and you were thinking about getting me a black Santa, why don't we get a different race Santa this year? As long as the gifts are from love. Bobby, do you want to say anything for this Christmas to sign off? Say a Happy New Year.
I would say. Yes, Happy New Year's.
Oh, okay.
Everyone.
Yes.
I hope you guys have a great winter season.
Yeah.
And the holiday time with family and all of that stuff. Absolutely. Yeah.
Again, I'd like to thank you for coming on the program. If I haven't thanked you before.
Oh, gosh. Thanks,
man. Appreciate having
it's
you.
Always, you. Thanks, man. It's always like, it's always just super, super big honor for me.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. Well, as we always say at the end of the podcast, you guys stay cool, up, down, and never clown. Okay, that's never something we've said before, but
down around town.
Down around town. I don't know it.
Never clown. Never clown, only down around town.
Around town.
Brown.
Brown. And end it with that color. Thank you, Dad. Always flush it down around the clouds. Never frown, but never always smile either. People think you're crazy. And goodbye.
Never frown, but never clown.
Yes. Never frown, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, never frown, but also never clown. Because you'll get killed. Because you'll get killed is a crazy sign off. Because someone will kill you. All right, bye now.